with a $5 meal deal with new McValue. You pick a McDouble or a McChicken, then get a small fry, a small drink, and a four-piece McNuggets. That's a lot of McDonald's for not a lot of money.
Prices and participation may vary. McDouble meal $6 in some markets for a limited time only.
Come on.
Welcome to Money Savage, a Savage Approach to Personal Finance. This is George Grumbacher, and the time is right. Welcome today's guest, strong and powerful Mike Wolf. Mike, are you ready to do this?
I am ready. Let's do it.
Yes, let's do this. Mike is a self-made freedom lifestyle entrepreneur. He's a real estate investor, an international speaker, and an author. I'm excited to have you on, Mike. Tell us a little bit about your personal life, some more about your work, and why you do what you do.
Oh boy, where do I start? I know I only have so long, so I'm going to dive right in. I've been a real estate investor for 31 years. I help other people who want to invest in real estate. I either teach them how to do it, or my teams actually do it for them. And let's see, I'm normally a world traveler. COVID put a bit of a damper on things this year, but I'm hunkered down in Mexico instead of Canada, so I have no complaints. And why I do what I do, it's... You know, to me, I don't even like the term real estate investor. I only use it because people identify with it. But I like the term problem solver because behind every real estate deal, there's some, you know, nobody randomly just puts their home up on the market. There's always a story behind it. Either they've, you know, they're moving up, they're moving down, they lost a job, they're getting divorced. There's always some underlying reason. And if we're good problem solvers and we can help solve their problems, we can help them and get paid for it at the same time. And that's why after 31 years of doing this, I still wake up excited to do it every single day.
So, Mike, we were talking about Canadian winter and northern Minnesota winter before we hopped on the actual call. When did you make the decision, now that you are and have been living essentially wherever you want, when did you make the decision that you wanted that kind of freedom?
Yeah, that happened... Well, it happened where I went full-time nomad around 5 years ago, and I got divorced around 10. And when I first got divorced, my daughter was 15. And so I would take short trips. I'd go away for a week, come back, spend some time with my daughter for 3 weeks. So I basically was traveling for 1 week out of the month. And then one time I came back and, you know, I said, Haley, what do you want to do tonight? Anything you want to do, just, you know, name it. And she said, can you drop me off at my boyfriend's house? And she's always been daddy's little girl. So it was a little bit of a tough moment for me, but it was also kind of bittersweet because like, well, hey, well, then there's not really any need for me to keep coming back if my daughter's not going to spend. And I remember when I was 15, I didn't really want to hang out with my parents either. So I totally got it. So then I started to travel full time, and then I'd fly my daughter to come meet me. And she's like a mini me. So she loves the warm weather as well. But then I started traveling full time, and I've been doing it ever since until, you know, that thing called COVID hit, and went back to Canada, spent 7 months there and did all right with it until that white stuff started to come down from the sky and said, nope, I'm not participating in this. So here I am in Mexico now.
Nice. Well, I certainly appreciate that. And 2020 taught us that, well, it taught us a lot of stuff, but certainly doing business virtually, but you had essentially figured that out way before that. So walk me through, because I'm fascinated. You talked about how you manage a team, and so how did you figure out how to successfully manage people and projects remotely?
Yeah, well, I actually took it a step further than that now, and I have other people to manage the team, so I have a lot of freedom, a lot more freedom. But the key is really to create passive income. And passive income is doing something one time, getting paid for it over and over and over again, and or delegating and or automating things so that you're not trading your time for money anymore. And so a lot of my money comes in from my revenue properties that I own. Other people go and collect the rent for me. That shows up in my bank account. Doesn't matter if I'm in Mexico, doesn't matter if I'm in Bali, doesn't matter if I'm with my grandkids or I'm volunteering. That money keeps showing up. So that's number one. Number two is I really have three revenue streams. One is my revenue properties that I spoke about. The second part is I have a business where we sell turnkey investment properties to investors all over the world, and that's in Atlanta, Georgia. Now, that doesn't take up any of my time. It's my money. I have my teams involved. I've got, there's systems, so they're not calling me all day long. And then there's other people that manage the whole operation. So I'm very removed from it, and we're helping investors to also create passive income, but it's not taking up my time to do that. And that's really, the important part is that as soon as you start putting yourself into the mix, then that you're usually the bottleneck in your own business, because there's only one of you and you can only work so many hours a day. And as soon as you stop working, the money stops coming in. And then my third revenue stream is I do trainings once in a while. Well, before COVID, I was doing trainings, once or twice a year. And I take people to like Houston, Texas, for example, teach them how to do tax liens and deeds. I spend four days training, and then I'd hop on a flight and I'd go somewhere tropical because that's my happy place. And then COVID hit and I went back home and I started to get tons of calls from podcasters like yourself, and people doing summits and radio shows, and everybody wanted to know what's going to happen with real estate, post COVID, what's going to happen with the economy. And to make a long story short, this year, I was realizing so many people are worried about money that I decided that I'm going to take this year, since I'm not bouncing around as much, to create more content and help more people that are, stuck financially, or people that need to reinvent themselves and maybe have been thinking about becoming real estate investors but don't know where to start. And so that this is the first year I've actually come out of pretty much semi-retirement, and that's the stuff that actually requires me. But the good thing is I'm already thinking ahead and thinking every single thing I'm doing is recorded, so that hopefully in the not too distant future, when borders are open again and there's no more COVID and it's safe to travel, I can still help people, but once again, protect my time. And that's really the key, is to protect your time.
Yeah. Well, amen. I'm sure that everybody that's listening, they say, well, that sounds pretty good. What Mike is doing sounds pretty good. And they understand the idea of you or me being the actual bottleneck to the business and being able to remove yourself from the process so success can flow. That's kind of the idea. But that didn't happen overnight for you. So did you sort of walk me through that process of how you got started?
Yeah, well, it's a really interesting story, because as I mentioned, I'm Canadian, and a buddy of mine moved from Canada to Las Vegas because he got a really good job offer. And I'd go visit him frequently, and I noticed every time I'd go there, the real estate prices were going up and up and up. And I'm going, what's going on here? And back in those days, a lot of people from California were moving to Vegas to lower their cost of living, and they're doing that again now. In places like Vegas and Phoenix, as you know. But in any case, I was thinking, man, this is like so much easier than, Canada was kind of, where I was living was kind of flat. And it's like, this is like, so this is like low hanging fruit. And so I started investing in the U.S. and I started to buy some properties in Vegas. And at the end of the month, I couldn't be, of course, at two places at the same time to collect my rent. And so I very reluctantly hired a property manager. That was my first employee I ever hired. I hired a property manager in Las Vegas. And I find there's really three phases for most entrepreneurs. Most successful entrepreneurs get to that third phase, and a lot of people don't make it there. But we start off as solopreneurs, and we do everything ourselves, and we feel like, oh, well, we can't trust anybody else, and nobody else can do this as well as we can. So that's how I felt anyway, and I know a lot of other entrepreneurs feel that way.
Sure.
But I reluctantly hired that first property manager. And then I realized at the end of the month, he was collecting a lot more rent than I was. Even though I was micromanaging him to death. He had to call me anytime somebody was late on rent. If an appliance broke, he'd have to call me. But he was collecting more rent than I was. And the reason for that is he was treating it like a business. And I was becoming friends with my tenants, thinking that, well, friends aren't going to not pay you. And that was obviously really wrong. And that was a really big misconception, because the closer you get to your tenants, the more favors are going to ask of you. And so, tenants would say, hey, Mike, I get paid on Friday. Can we hold off till Friday? And I'd say, yeah, no problem. And then Friday would come and, oh, my car broke down. Can you give me another 3 days? And then next, they're a month behind, they're 2 months behind, they're 4 months behind. And then they never get caught back up again. And then you end up having to evict them. My property manager in Vegas, he treated it like a business. And he, we play good cop, bad cop. And he'd say to the tenants, well, if it was up to me, I'd let it slide. But the homeowner, it's this grumpy old man. If he doesn't get his rent, he's going to fire me and kick you out of the house. But if you can come up with the money tomorrow, I won't even tell him We had this conversation. So my property manager is collecting way more money than me. He was, even after I paid him his 10%, I was still getting more money on the properties in Vegas than I was on the ones in Canada. And then, you know, I remember there was one week that he called me he called me on Monday and said, "Hey, Mike, the fridge at 123 Main Street is broken. What should we do?" And I said to him, "Let's see what it costs to fix it. And if it's under a certain amount, we'll fix it. And if it's over a certain amount, we'll replace it." And then I remember he called me like literally 2 or 3 days later, a different property, different appliance, exact same conversation. I gave him the exact same answer. And I remember hanging up the phone with him, and it was my fault because I made him report everything to me. And I remember hanging up the phone and thinking, man, am I ever dumb? I just spent this time on the phone and I'm not doing the job myself. I'm delegating it, but I'm spending just as much time babysitting as I did doing the job. And so I create a policy. Hey, every time an appliance breaks, this is what we do. And that was the start of my first system. And as I mentioned, I think there's really three phases for entrepreneurs. And the first phase is solopreneur. The second phase I call the micromanager phase or babysitting phase, where we don't really have that trust. And so we need to know every little thing that's going on in the business. And then we finally, if we're lucky, we get to that third phase. And I call that the freedom phase. And that's where you know you've got the right people on your team. Like I said, he was bringing in more money than I was, even after I was paying him. And once I started to give him a little bit more, I empowered him to make decisions. He was a lot happier. I got my time back. And so now I'm making more money doing less work. And so I promptly hired my second employee, which is now a property manager up in Canada, to replace me. And then I started to think about all the different things in my business that were taking up my time, and started to think, hey, does this really require me to do it, or could it be somebody else? And so it was a gradual process. This did not happen overnight. But I can tell you about that idea of into that freedom phase and replacing myself and putting more people in place, doing a lot less work than I ever did back in, you know, I used to be a workaholic, and I can honestly say that as a playaholic, which is where I am now, I make a lot more money than I ever did as a workaholic. So I wish I would have learned that many, many years earlier. It took a while, but it changed my life.
Nice. Well, certainly appreciate that. And I think that anybody who's listening that is a solopreneur or at one of the three stages that you mentioned can certainly identify. I know that I certainly can. So going from a solopreneur where you can't trust anybody to do any of the work, and then to stage two where you're really micromanaging the people that you're working with, and then finally making to that freedom phase. So nice. So did you get to an income level that was coming in consistently, and you said, okay, this is where I'm happy, or do you look at it and say, okay, this is the next phase for me?
Yeah, to me, I got to a certain point where the money wasn't the relevant thing anymore. It's during my workaholic days, I had this kind of thing in my subconscious that I think my mother put there, and she, my mother got divorced when I was 2, and my dad was kind of a deadbeat dad, never sent any money. So she raised me to make sure that whoever I was with, I was going to take care of them financially. So she told me, you know, you're the guy. You got to go and make good money, and you have to work hard and support your family. And I wholeheartedly agree with that, but that's not what I'm teaching my daughter and grandkids. I'm not teaching them to work hard. I teach them to work smart now. And so, if I look back on those days when I used to be a workaholic, if I could go back, I would have skipped all that. And so, but anyway, back in those days, I measured everything by money and how much money was I bringing in. And then I got to a certain point where I had this money coming in very passively at the end of every month that way exceeded my expenses. And so I switched my currency from money to happiness and fulfillment. So everything that I do now, I only do things that make me happy and or fulfilled. So normally when there's no COVID, I do a lot of traveling to different places. I do a lot of volunteering and give back stuff. Because that, to me, I don't know any other way to create more fulfillment than helping other people. That's why this year I've kind of gone back into work mode, because obviously COVID created this, this chaos for a lot of people, and I want to help as many as possible. So I've gone back to work, but I'm not regretting it at all. I'm not saying, oh, I've got, you know, I'm working, or, and I'm not measuring by how much money. I'm not worried about the money, because that part's taken care of. And so some of the stuff that I love to teach people, that I'm teaching, you know, my students that I have now, is that, you know, if you could put the money on autopilot, so it's not a thing, that not an issue anymore, what are the things that you would do with your time? And to me, you know, you should take, once you get the money part figured out, you don't really need, after a certain point, it's just a non-issue. And so every day I wake up and I think about how can I add more value to other people? Because that's where I get my fulfillment from. And then I think about how can I make myself more happy? Because if I'm happy and energized, I can also do a lot more giving back and help other people. So that's why here I am in Mexico in my happy place. I could be at home in Canada in the snow and looking at, and I love my country, by the way, but not in winter. So I put myself in my happy place every day, no matter what that is. And I also look for opportunities wherever I can help others that are struggling. That makes me happy and fulfilled. And the money just comes in. I find it's a byproduct. When you're kind of in the flow, doing the things you love, money comes in so effortlessly after a while. But it doesn't start that way. It's all when you get in the flow and you start doing the right things.
Yeah, well, I certainly appreciate everything you just said. And I think that there are a lot of people, myself included, who would rather have money be irrelevant and not have to think or really worry about it ever again. But unless you have it, then that makes that a little tricky, right? So for people who are listening that aren't necessarily, they're just working a regular 9-to-5 job and they're interested in getting to the state that you're talking about, but don't have a ton of money saved up, how do you coach them?
Well, the good news is there's a really big misconception that you need money to make money. And I can tell you, when I first started in real estate, I had just finished going to university, and I was quite a bit in debt and had a lot of student loans. And so I remember, back then, this is 1989, I was $25,000 in debt, and I was actually going to go pay that off and then go get my second degree. I was going to be a lawyer, and I discovered real estate by mistake. So, but the good news for anybody who's listening that doesn't have a lot of money, I get people all the time that come to me and they say, hey, Mike, you know, I'd love to get started in real estate, but I've got no money. And I go, man, you've got no money. You are so lucky. Because when I started, I was aspiring to get to no money. I was trying to get to zero. So the good news is there's lots of strategies out there that you can do that require little or no money. And the strategies that do require money, it doesn't have to be your money. And so there's lots of different ways to get, if you have lots of time, there's lots of people like myself that I don't have time or the patience to go looking for deals anymore. I have teams that do that for me. But if somebody who had a lot of time found a good deal and they called me up and said, hey, Mike, do you want to be my money partner in this deal? Of course I'm going to do it, as long as they're willing to put in the time to do it. So there's lots and lots of different ways to get in the game. If it was true that you needed money to be a real estate investor, I would say there'd be no real estate investors. Because very few people, unless you inherit money, most people don't start off. We all start off in the same place. We start at zero. And so I totally believe that anybody can be successful. And I can tell you, my most successful students are usually the ones that are starting off with very little or no cash. The people that are comfortable, they don't really have this pressure to go and take action. And so quite often the stuff that they learn becomes shelf help, where, you know, they've got this knowledge, but they're not hungry enough. So they think it'd be nice to do that, but they're not motivated to actually go do the work. The people that are hungry, that invest in themselves, and they've got that hunger, they're going to take action and they're going to get the results. So if you have little or no money, you're listening to this, take the time to educate yourself on some of the strategies that you can do, and your life can look radically different a year from now. I guarantee it.
I love it. Well, Mike, Savage Nation is ready for your difference making tip. What do you have for them?
Well, I'd say since we're in the middle of a pandemic, I just like to say that, it's very easy to get caught up in all the negativity that we see on TV and, you know, all the negativity that's surrounding us right now. And, you know, there's actually a lot, I think there's a lot of good things that are coming from, I'm trying not to sound insensitive, but there's a lot of good things, such as, you know, we have more bandwidth than ever before. You know, a year ago, if somebody said, hey, Mike, you know, can you create a whole bunch of content? It's like, no, I don't think I have the time to do it. So my big tip is, you know, for a lot of us, we're not working or we're working from home. It's created more bandwidth, more time for us. Use that time wisely. It's very easy to just, you know, sleep in every day and watch Netflix and let life happen to you. Instead, take control. Take control of this time. Use it to educate yourself. Use it to reinvent yourself. I believe that 5 years from now, the people that take this time to learn a new skill, take this time to educate themselves on different possibilities, 5 years from now, you can look back and think that COVID was the best thing that ever happened in your life. So once again, I'm trying not to sound insensitive. I know obviously a lot of people are affected adversely by this, but I also think that if you use this time properly, you can change your life in a really positive way.
Well, I think that is great stuff. That definitely gets come on. Well, Mike, thank you so much for coming on. Where can Savage Nation learn more about you? How can people engage with you?
Yeah, well, you can either email me at info@mikewolfmastery.com, and it's Wolf just like the animal, or go to my website, mikewolfmastery.com, and there's actually a free ebook there. So for those of you who are maybe in that position we were talking about earlier where you don't have a whole lot of money, we'll have an ebook on the top strategies you can do right now from home, by the way, because I know it's COVID and not a lot of people want to go looking at properties at the moment. Stuff you can do from home with little or no money. And so it's absolutely free. So it's on my website, mikewolfmastery.com.
Perfect. Well, Savage Nation, if you enjoyed this as much as I did, show Mike your appreciation and share today's show with a friend who also appreciates good ideas. Shoot him a message at info@mikewolfmastery.com. Pick up that ebook at mikewolfmastery.com as well. Thanks again, Mike.
Thanks so much for having me, George.
And until next time, keep fighting the good fight because we are all in this together. I know how important it is for me to hit reset, to refocus, reprioritize, and even reprogram myself every quarter or so in order to make sure that my mind, my body, and my money are where they need to be. These days, we are all going hard constantly with so many demands on our time, our attention. And that's why I created the Strive Online Bootcamp, to be able to take a step back, to ensure that we're optimized in three key areas of our lives, our minds, our bodies, and our money. And I'd love for you to come with me on this two-week journey. You can click on the link in the notes of the show, or you can go to strivedetox.com, check out the program. I'd love to have you a part of it.